Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on October 10th, 2013 at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 8 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, Be Careful What You Wish For. This week's story comes to us from Mark Gibbons and is titled Drummond Drive-In or Planning to Remodel. Thank you for listening.
Be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Okay. So I didn't have any idea what to say, and it came to me just in the middle of the night, tell that one. So, I mean, it's like you're in a bar, you're telling stories all the time. What are you going to tell? What are you going to choose? And so this one just popped in, and like Pat's, it's not mine, but I'm going to tell this story. And if I run over, I didn't hear a gong yet. Did someone hear a goddamn gong? It's been, oh shit, I've already lost 30 seconds. So bear with me. Oh, there's the gong. All right. So I'm going to do this fast, probably, because the story happened fast. And here's the way it happened. I was working for a moving company here in town called Blair Transfer and Storage. And we got a call that a guy wanted his stuff picked up in Drummond. And so the boss says, yeah, go on out there. His house got hit by a truck. And so he needs us to take all the stuff out of the house and bring it back into storage while they're fixing up the house or whatever. And I said, okay. So we take off and we arrive in Drummond. Me and my compadres, Lump and Leo, who worked here for many goddamn years. What a great guy. And Leap and Larry, the other great lumpen dude I worked with. And the three of us showed up anyway at this guy's house in Drummond. And he says, yeah, come on in. And when we got there, you know, there was like one side, the west side of his house was tarped. And obviously where the truck had hit the house. And so, you know, we walk up and he goes, yeah, the stuff here is inside. And we said, well, what's the story? You know, I mean, we heard your house got hit by a truck. And he said, incredible, unbelievable. He said, you wouldn't believe this story. And so, okay, so he starts telling us. He said, you know, obviously, I don't know what happened with the driver, but it was the fall of the year, you know, about 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:15 in the morning, and this guy was driving. He was heading eastbound. He obviously just dropped some I think seafood or something. It was a refrigerator trailer and a Kenworth tractor, and he was heading back wherever he was heading to. And he held about a quarter full, maybe. That's where he was at, mostly empty. So that's, we're talking about 50,000 pounds, probably, rolling down the interstate. And if you all know Drummond, the way the interstate kind of swoops north around the town, he was heading around that north side of Drummond when he lost control of the vehicle. And it had been raining all night. Maybe there was black ice on the bridge. Maybe he hydroplaned, lost control. Maybe the guy fell asleep. This guy didn't really know. But anyway, when he left the interstate, he was headed on a straight line toward this guy's house, who lived on the north side of Drummond. And, you know, to change direction just momentarily, this guy's wife had recently, you know, empty nesters, and she wanted a new house. And so she'd asked him, you know, we got to do something different. And he thought, well, let's build a new house. And so he bought some property out, you know, towards Peaburg, out in the sagebrush area, the open spaces where more sun was. And he started building this house. And so she was inspecting the house and going out there, and she wasn't, you know, caring for it, and he got almost to finish, and she said, you know, I don't like that whole thing. Why don't you sell that house And let's do something with this house. I always loved this house. Let's expand it. So, okay, he said, go ahead. Talk to Bill. We'll call him Bill, this carpenter. And he'll come over and you'll figure it out. So they sat down to the dining room table at 7 o'clock that morning and started hammering out sort of a blueprint for what they were going to do to enlarge and make the house a wonderful new place for them to live the rest of their days. And they'd done this at the dining room table, you know, Bill and the wife and the old cat, and I don't know, the cat was about 14 years old on one chair, over coffee, figuring it all out. Yeah, looking great. So, okay, it's almost 8 o'clock. Bill's got this other project he's working on. He's got to go. So he moves toward the front door. They get up. They leave the table. Bill walks out the front. She's right there at the front door saying, hey, thanks. I'm looking so forward to this, all that kind of thing. About that time is when the fucking bomb goes off. And how the bomb happened, he said, the interesting thing was is that after it happened, he said, I went back to see the pathway that truck took. And so he said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, you go up to the interstate where that truck left the interstate, and there's a hole, of course. There was a hole where it went through the guardrail. And then at that point, there was nothing for like 25, 30 feet. Nothing, no sign of anything, just the hole. And then all of a sudden there was a furrow, kind of a trough, that started down the fill slope, right? Where the rear of the trailer started to touch down, because that goddamn truck went whoa, off the goddamn interstate. It flew like a rocket through the air. And as it was coming down, the trough, the back of the trailer, just started digging in. And then about halfway down, all of a sudden, tire tracks. And a goddamn thing was like, whoa, a freight train. And you know, I mean, I drove truck for a long time. And I had an old 91 International. It didn't have cruise control back then. You had a goddamn throttle lock. And so I'm guessing maybe that's where, because this was 30 years ago this happened. And I'm guessing it was locked. He was probably doing 80-plus miles an hour. And he got to the bottom of that fill slope, and he blows through what? The chain-link fence, of course, at the bottom, protecting you from the interstate highway. He blows through the chain-link fence, and like 6 feet to the right is a propane tank. And right in front of the propane tank is a single wide trailer house where a woman, a young woman with an infant, had a daycare in Drummond. And the people had just dropped off all the children. And so she had like four toddlers in there, and all of a sudden, boom, just like 8 feet from the corner of that place, blows by that on a dead run. Well, he's got to cross the neighbor's backyard, this guy's neighbor's, before he gets to his house. The neighbor's wife is sitting at the window of her house doing the dishes in the morning. She's doing the dishes, looking north towards the interstate. You know, it's just breaking day, but it's dark and rainy and all that shit. And so she's looking, and son of a bitch, here comes a goddamn freight train through her backyard. And this thing hits the side of her garage, the corner of her garage, which there's a goddamn Bonneville Pontiac in the garage, nails the Pontiac, blows it through the garage, out this other side, and then what's all that's left in the direct pathway before it hits this guy's house is a single building, the woodshed. And this guy had already done his firewood chores and filled that woodshed with rounds of larch and fir. It was full, probably 10 by 12 foot woodshed. And he hits it dead on. Just obliterates this woodshed. No more. The woodshed is gone. It's gone, man. And the next thing that happens, just before it crashes across his driveway and into his house, his wife had a small compact car sitting in the driveway, and the truck clips the rear quarter panel of that car, and he said, I swear to God, that car did not move, but it flipped 180 degrees. Just went, just like that. was in the same spot, he said, I swear. And then into the side of his house. Well, the side of his house on that side, the west side of his house. Oh, shut the gong. Oh, you're kidding me. I've got to stop. I got to in. Oh, keep going. Okay. All right. So it goes into the side of the house. It goes in, and the back porch is along that wall, man, right, on that side. And it blows into the back porch, paint, you know, all that kind of crap. And but also on that side of the house is where the power, the Montana power, came into the house. And it blows into the side of his house, his wife, of course, over at the front door, saying goodbye about the wonderful remodel she wants to do on the house. And it blows into the house. Well, you know, after the bomb went off and the dust is billowing out and everything, all that rubble came to like within 2 to 3 feet of this woman's feet standing at the front door, and of course in shock. And the guy pulls her out the front door as the dust and everything is coming out the front door. And he can see light in there, the headlights from the Kenworth. And so he wonders, you know, what happens to the guy who's driving the truck. And so he sticks his head inside, of course, and tries to see something. And pretty much he sees the dome lights of the Kenworth come on. The door kind of opens. The truck driver stumbles out of the truck, you know, and he stumbles outside. And the guy helps him outside. He's got a little cut on his forehead. And the neighbors are showing up, and the sirens are starting. The Drummond, you know, volunteer. They're showing up. And at that point, and everybody's thinking like, oh my God, this is amazing. We're all here. They're touching each other like we're still alive. Out the front door, here comes the goddamn cat, covered in dust and diesel fuel. Not a soul was harmed in this whole goddamn experience. And he said, it's phenomenal. He said, you know, when I cleaned this place up, because he said, when I cleaned this place up, we hauled 7 dump truck loads out of this house. And he said, in those loads, I found a piece of guardrail. I found chain link fence. I found rounds of firewood in my living room. That's amazing. And it was like, oh, the other thing he told me is, you know, that house was probably built in the 30s. It knocked the whole goddamn house about 6 inches off the foundation. So he didn't know how he was going to deal with that, but he wanted us to take the furniture, and we did, and that's the story.
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Thanks to the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, and performance art. TopHatLounge.com. Jonathan Marquis is an artist and human in Missoula, Montana. Learn more about him and his art at SubjectToGravity.com. That's Subject, the number 2, Gravity.com. Matt LaRubio, screen printing and graphic design. More at RanchHandDesign.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people, RockinRudy's.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers this quarter, Doug Dottie, Cheyenne Rivers, Pat Williams, Joe Durbrock, Mark Gibbons, Emily Walter, John Turk, and Cheyenne R.R. Rogers. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for December 3rd at the Top Hat, and the theme is Promises.